When I was little, my father always told me,
"Be proud that you are Basque. Our language is the oldest in Europe. Our culture has mysterious origins. No one ever conquered us."
But it's taken me years to understand. My father's words may mean one thing to him, but they mean something else altogether to his brothers, to my cousins, and maybe to me.
It's the first day of the Running of the Bulls festival, known as the San Fermines, and I'm standing here in the Plaza del Ayuntamiento, the City Hall Square. Imagine about 20,000 people crammed into a place that normally holds a couple hundred.
For Hemingway and countless tourists, Pamplona is a Spanish city, but not for everyone. A young Basque man approaches when he sees my microphone.
Gora Euskadi.
Gora Euskadi. That's long-lived Basque country in Euskara, or Basque language. Pamplona is not officially part of the three northern Basque provinces that Spain considers semi-autonomous. The city is not subject to the laws made by the Basque Parliament. But the separatist group ETA wants the area to be part of a fully independent Basque state, along with three provinces in southern France. Other Basques don't want to break with Spain. My family is just as divided. The Spanish Civil War split us into two camps, the intellectuals who favored self-rule and the wealthy supporters of Francisco Franco, the Spanish dictator. We've always had a tacit agreement never to discuss politics. This year, I hope to break the silence. My father was born in a medieval village called Arroniz in Navarra province, not far from Pamplona. Arroniz is practically a ghost town now.
Hola.
¿Qué tal estás, tío?
Every time my family gets together, we have what's called a chuletada. My cousin Juan Mari and I dust off an old grill.
Esto es un manjar de Dios.
This is a God-given delicacy, lamb chops roasted over dried grapevines. Now you'll hear that magnificent sound of the fat dripping on the grill, sizzling.
Qué rico.
Salud.
Salud.
The evening turns, for the first time ever, to politics. My uncle Pedro offers the opening salvo.
ETA are the true children of Basque country. They've sacrificed themselves for the self-determination, the independence of their country. This is a country invaded by Spain and France. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against anybody. Spaniards can be good friends.
We're thunderstruck. My uncle Pedro, a shy 70-year-old farmer, the only one of my father's siblings never to have left the village, a revolutionary? I always knew he was a Basque nationalist, but I've never heard him say anything like this before. ETA, whose full name, Euskadi ta Askatasuna, means Basque homeland and freedom, has almost always been synonymous with violence. During my visit, there were bombings in Pamplona and Santander, and a bloody attack on a Spanish language school in Alicante. My cousins and I stare at my uncle. My cousin Juan Mari speaks first.
I have a nationalist sentiment as well. But I disagree with Pedro. When ETA first formed, they were the true children of Basque country. They were responding to a very real threat and oppression. Now times have changed. And I see no purpose to armed resistance.
Juan Mari is the only one of us 25 cousins who's fluent in Basque. He's the youngest of four boys. When his older brothers were children in the 1960s and 70s, Franco was in power, and Basque people were made to speak Spanish only. Juan Mari's mother was afraid to teach her children their native language. For Juan Mari, Franco died just in time. But his older brother Samuel wasn't so lucky.
One of the things I have stuck in my heart is that I don't speak Basque because it was prohibited during Franco's dictatorship. I don't want my sons, when I have them, to be raised speaking Spanish. I want them to learn what I couldn't.
It's strange hearing my cousins talk about this kind of repression. For me, coming here always felt like the opposite. Loading up on candy and sunflower seeds at the village store, playing all night outside the old stone church. I don't think I ever felt more free. A few days later, Uncle Pedro and I have lunch with his sister, my Aunt Mari Carmen, and her husband, Jose Mari. Mari Carmen was born poor, but her husband inherited his family's land and built a canned asparagus empire under Franco. As long as I can remember, their side of the family has been casually called the fascists. We drink a lot of wine before they agree to talk.
Vasco, no.
We're not Basque. We're Navarros. Somewhere in our family tree there may be a few Basque last names, but we don't feel Basque.
When my Uncle Pedro, the revolutionary, hears this, he gets up and leaves the table. Mari Carmen has been fidgeting the whole time. She takes a long look at her husband before she speaks.
Por mi apellido, me considero Basque.
My Basque last name makes me Basque, even if my husband says otherwise.
That's how deep the divisions go here, driving a wedge between a husband and wife who lived together in the same house for 34 years. One looks in the mirror and sees a Spaniard, the other a Basque. Before I head home, I stop in Madrid to visit one last cousin in one last outdoor bar. Armando was a writer and photographer, and something of a family historian. Out of all my cousins, he's the one I have the strongest bond with. Whenever we saw each other as kids, we'd jump right into conversation. We still do.
No me interesa la violencia, ni los extremismos, ni la radicalidad.
I have no interest in violence, or extremisms, or radicalism. I believe in common sense. Basque country can't get anywhere by itself, so the fight for independence makes no sense. I feel profound sadness about the Basque situation. Now more than ever in Basque country, you see more violence in everyday life. I see a dark future with more bloodshed.
But when I ask him how he feels about our family, he takes a deep breath, then he smiles.
Cuanto a la familia, yo por ejemplo, sí soy optimista.
I'm optimistic about our family. A lot of us are in the eye of the hurricane geographically, but we're evolving ideologically. I doubt we'll have the kind of confrontation that existed in the generation before us over nationalism.
Heading for the airport, I think about my family, divided along so many lines, lines of history and language, of geography and wealth, and it occurs to me that that's the way families, the way cultures, are. Take a few steps back and the lines that divide us look a lot like the lines that connect us, tangled nets that hold us together, generation after generation. Stepping back is a luxury I have, living on the other side of an ocean. It's a luxury I wish on all my people.